any reflections, judgments, or emotions. Then at once I discovered that I could see through time as well, and that just as I could change my point of view in space, so I could change it in time too, as if I were the cursor on a computer screen moving of its own accord, or at least oblivious to the hand that is moving it. I seemed to dream like this for an eternity. There was no before and no after, no sense of anticipation of anything new because there was nothing to gain or lose. The night would never end. Nothing was happening. Even time would never change what I could see. I went on looking, not noticing anything new or forgetting anything I had seen. Marta. When we moved in 3 years ago, we spent the whole of the first day inspecting our property. Our gumboots kept sinking into the clay. The earth was red, it stained our hands red, and when we washed them, the water ran red. R examined the trees in the orchard again. They were old, bushy, and rambling in all directions. Trees like that probably won't bear much fruit. The orchard stretched down to the forest and stopped at a dark wall of spruces, standing there like soldiers. In the afternoon, the sleet began to fall again. Water collected in pools on the clay-clogged earth, creating streamlets and rills that flowed straight down to the house, seeping into the walls and disappearing somewhere under the foundations. Worried by the constant trickling sound, we went to the cellar with a candle. Water was pouring down the stone steps, washing over the stone floor and flowing out again towards the pond. We realized that the house had been unwisely built on an underground river, and it was too late to do anything about it. The only option was to get used to the relentless murmur of water disturbing our dreams. There was a second river outside, a stream full of cloudy red water that blindly washed away at the roots of the trees before vanishing into the forest. From the window of the main room, we can see Marta's house. For the past 3 years, I have wondered who Marta really is. She has told me many different versions of the facts about herself. Every time she has given a different birth year. For me and R, Marta has only ever existed in the summer. In winter, she disappears, like everything else around here. She is small. Her hair is white as snow, and some of her teeth are missing. Her skin is wrinkled, dry, and warm. I know this because we have sometimes greeted each other with a kiss or an awkward hug, and I have caught her smell of damp, forced to dry out quickly. This smell lingers forever. It can't be got rid of. Clothing that has got wet in the rain should be washed, my mother used to say, but then she was always doing a lot of unnecessary laundry. She used to take clean, starched sheets out of the wardrobe and throw them in the washing machine, as if not using them made them just as dirty as using them. The smell of damp is usually unpleasant, but on Marta's clothes and skin, it smells nice and familiar. If Marta's around, everything is in its place. She came by on our second evening. First, we drank tea, then last year's wild rosehip wine, thick and dark, so sweet it made you feel dizzy at the first gulp. I was unpacking books. Marta held her glass in both hands and watched without curiosity. It occurred to me at the time that perhaps she didn't know how to read. It was possible, as she was old enough to have missed out on state education. I have seen since that letters simply don't hold her attention, but I have never asked her about it. The dogs were excited and kept coming in and out of the house, bringing the scent of winter and wind on their fur.